And it sounds like the opening of a comedy sketch. So a group of Trump supporters from coal country Kentucky travels to Massachusetts to sit down with a bunch of liberals. And what? Well, over 2 years, with several trips between Whitesburg, Kentucky and Leverett, Massachusetts, a dialogue broke out. So did mutual respect and friendship, if not agreement. The project is called Hands Across the Hills. It was the brainchild of Leverett, Massachusetts conflict resolution expert Paula Green. Paula is in Amherst, Massachusetts today, and standing by in Whitesburg, Kentucky is Gwen Johnson. But Paula, start with you, the progressive. This idea began in 2016. How?
Right after the election, a group of people in our community got together in the town library to talk about our response. And we didn't know where we would reach out or how we would reach out, but we felt that it was very important to increase as many connectors as we could between people and reduce the dividers, because the deep divides become chasms and then they become cataclysms. And before long, we can't talk to each other at all.
You ended up reaching out to Whitesburg, Kentucky. Gwen, when you heard of this possibility, starting a dialogue with liberals from Western Massachusetts, what was your thought?
Well, I was a little apprehensive, afraid it was another Save the Dumb Hillbillies project. We've really been exploited many times by the media who come in, look at the very worst of the worst. And we decided to draft an email in response, just asking what the motivation was. Our people in our county voted almost the exact same percentage for Trump that Leverett, Massachusetts voted for Hillary.
Yeah.
I had my reasons for voting for President Trump.
Because candidate Trump promised to revive the coal industry there. Talk about how,
yes.
Yeah, how important was that?
Oh, it's very important because our people don't want handouts. We want an economy that works for all of us. We want to feed the children and put shoes on their feet. And the coal miners here were the benevolent ones who spent their money into keeping the civic organizations and the churches and, you know, all the people who don't have a revenue stream. It was the coal miners who always funded that.
Gwen, I think it was the Kentuckians who first went up to Western Mass. I mean, I've heard this from people who go into communities that are very different from theirs, so from a blue to a red community or a red to blue community. There's almost fear and trepidation. Did you have that when you were coming up to Massachusetts?
Well, I knew it was a conversation that needed to be had, so I just got my courage up and said, okay, I'll be one of the ones who stands out and speaks up. And yeah, there were folks in our group that were very afraid.
What were they afraid of?
That we would not be heard and that we would not be accepted. And the thing that I kept worrying about was that maybe they wouldn't be able to forgive us for voting for President Trump.
Huh. Paula, what was your anticipation when they were coming?
Well, the backstory to this, Robin, is that we spent 6 months preparing for this meeting. This was no casual meeting. Mm-hmm. We had endless correspondence and Skypes and phone calls. We had prepared all sorts of community events. We had music and dance and drama and art. And so we had a very full and rich and safe agenda prepared for everybody. And we know how much fear there was even with all that.
What are one of the things you heard that was kind of an aha moment?
The biggest puzzle, I think, for many progressives is, why did people vote for this president? And were they voting against their own interests, which we hear over and over again? And I learned that they were voting for their interests because their interest was coal. And Trump promised to bring back coal and Hillary talked about shutting down the mines. So it became very clear to me that these folks were voting a very important interest, their survival, their basic core needs were not going to be met. We just had to accept that this was what happened and why they voted.
Well, now, Paula, you and your neighbors from Leverett make the trip to Kentucky. Gwen, did you have concerns when they were coming to see you?
Not so much, because we had gotten to know them and to love them by the time that they came and saw us.
Wait a minute, I want to hold up on that. Love them?
Yes.
I would say the same thing, Robin. Yeah. And that's what was astounding for us. We didn't know what was going to transpire between us. And although we don't agree politically, we've come to love and care about each other a great deal.
Well, but Gwen, what was it that you heard that maybe changed your thinking, if at all? You tell me.
Well, they are worried about climate change just as we are. We're not blind to that, and we're not denying that, but basic human needs overshadow that when you have a mono economy that's built on coal. They don't live in that mono economy that we live in. And so when we heard what they had to say, mm-hmm. it was easier to understand how the divides came about.
Yeah. We're hearing also that there were things like people from Kentucky understood that there were some people in Leverett who directly suffered from the Holocaust, whereas people in Western Mass, Gwen, heard there are transgender people in Kentucky. They didn't know that.
Yes, so we were enlightened on a lot of points that we were rather blind to.
I think what happened in the end was that we humanized each other, because the Kentuckian stereotypes of us as liberal elites who didn't care about them, these walls of stereotypes and prejudices came down.
Yeah.
And what we felt for each other was a very shared humanity at the deepest level. One interesting example was talking about guns. The question that I asked is, what helps you feel safe? And the people in Massachusetts said, when nobody has guns. And the people in Kentucky said, when everybody has guns. But the common thing is, how do we get our safety? And the immigration story was very important because we live in a community that's fairly porous with people coming and going and lots of immigration in the area. I think the people in Kentucky have had much less exposure to that. And they're listening to stories from Holocaust descendants and others whose parents came from various places in Europe and around the world. They learned that the suffering that comes from migration and refugee status and persecution is different than the suffering that comes from lack of jobs in the coal mines, but is nonetheless acute suffering.
Gwen, tell me about your reaction to hearing, obviously there's been such suffering in coal towns, but was that an opening for you? Like, oh, wow, there's, you know, others suffering as well.
Well, I've always been aware of the Holocaust, but didn't have a family connection to that. And so I could really sympathize when they began to talk about the family experiences around that. It was rich to be among them. It was rich. You know, we had in the early days, the coal fields were a melting pot of all nationalities who came here to work. They learned to live side by side and developed a brotherhood. And the United Mine Workers of America was never segregated. We've not had a lot of racial divides here.
Yeah.
And so just to meet the ones who had that history from the Holocaust, it was a rich, rich experience of compassion and love that just prevailed over all the differences.
I got to tell you, I mean, Gwen, I hear the emotion in your voice when you talk about that, and I'm ready to just burst out because this is a glimpse of something that we don't seem to have in this country.
Two things came for us. One is the tremendous pride that people had in mining. World War II, the miners were heroes. They couldn't even be drafted because they had to stay home and keep mining coal for the war effort. And the other thing we heard was a tremendous danger and death. People talk about husbands, fathers, brothers, sons dying in the mines, either from black lung or from boulders that fall. So I think the compassion built up on both sides. And my mission with this is to encourage people to try it. They don't have to try a big 3-day marathon that we try, but even to try an afternoon together and to discover the humanity of the other.
Gwen, I'm sure you have fellow Kentuckians saying, you know, why are you bothering? Or what are they saying?
Well, a lot of them thought we shouldn't make the trip. And they ask, what in the world are you thinking? But I felt that these conversations needed to be had. And how could we not try to bridge this divide when someone was receptive and reaching out to us for that very thing.
Well, Gwen Johnson, you talk about love. This has just been, you know, so powerful to hear. I think I'm hearing maybe friends for life. Is this going to continue?
Yeah, we are continuing. In fact, I was back in Kentucky again in August, and we had a circle with all our Kentucky friends. And in that dialogue circle, they said, we want to come back. So yes. Something very profound and transformative has happened for all of us.
You know, we didn't want to let them leave. We wanted to keep them.
Well, it's just incredible, and we wish you the best. Gwen Johnson from Whitesburg, Kentucky. Paula Green from Leverett, Massachusetts, part of Hands Across the Hills, the project that has found a way to reach across our political divides. Gwen, Paula, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you, Robin.
Why don't we hear more of that? Is more of that possible? Weigh in, hereandnow.org.